Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Boy, there is so much that we've had to deal with over the past few decades in the realms of education, especially in the quote-unquote following the science, to bring you to a point to where you supposedly have proof that there is no God. Well, isn't it amazing for any of you out there who are in the fields of science that we have literally come full spectrum to the point where now it is absolute ignoramity in science to not at least admit that there is an intelligent designer of our universe. For those of you who are in any of the science fields, and for those of you who aren't, here's something that maybe a lot of your friends and you maybe not even knowing. You in the science realm, if you denied that there was an intelligent designer for the universe as we know it, you would be seen as silly. Isn't that good news? The reality of it is what they used to say for so long proved that there was no God has at least gotten us now to the point there's an intelligent designer. And guess what? If there's an intelligent designer, it would be intelligent on our part to kind of figure out who the intelligent designer is. And once you start looking at who the options for the intelligent designer could be, boy, we better hope it's the God of Scripture. Because he's the only one that was willing to die for our insufficiencies, our stupidities, our inadequacies. All the other ones, you're on your own. Good luck. Might work, might not. How do you go through life not knowing that the creator and sustainer of all that is actually loves you? Well, we know how. Many of us were there. And we tried to fill that hole in our heart that only can be filled and satisfied by God himself with stuff and ideas and things that basically all just kind of medicated the pain in our soul of not understanding that we are unconditionally loved. Wow. If you're here this morning struggling with the fact that how could God love me? We often forget that the majority of the New Testament outside of the Gospels was written by this guy named, who used to be named Saul of Tarsus, who got his jollies with getting Christians killed. I mean, that was his passion. In the name of God, for the glory of God, he enjoyed getting Christians arrested, thrown into jail, beaten, killed. He thought he was doing the Lord's work. I don't know about you, but if I'm God during the time that Saul of Tarsus existed, do I let Saul live? Me, who holds the storehouse of 1.21 gigawatt bolts? Me, who has the ability and the authority and the very right to demand his soul to come before me that day and suffer the consequences for all that he had done? I sure am glad I wasn't God. And I sure am glad none of you were God either. Because if any of us are God, is there anybody left on the planet? Zero. But God, in his loving foresight, saw Saul as Paul, the beloved. How about the guy on the cross, one of the thieves? Oh, man. Earlier in the day, both of them are just calling Jesus out. They're literally rebuking and reviling him on the cross. Something happened later in the day where one of those guys actually has a change of heart. The whole concept of crucifixion, beloved, whew, craziness. You want to talk about man's inhumanity to man? Let's beat a guy to near pulpless and then let's strip him naked. We see everything? No, they were stripped naked. And then let's put nails through his hands, through his feet, and let's throw them up on this cross. And literally the process is you as a human being have this innate desire to stay alive. That even in that position, you are literally up on that cross for hours, pushing up so that you can breathe. And then not having the strength and dropping down. And now all of a sudden you're suffocating because of the pressure that's on your lungs. And to do that for hours, knowing that eventually you're going to die. And knowing that eventually many of you, because you've seen this, because this is part of the daily routine there. This is how Rome kept everybody in line. That eventually when it came near the end of the daytime, they'd come out with clubs and break the legs of the guy so that they couldn't push up anymore. And then they would asphyxiate. No air. That a guy in that position who is with Jesus, going through this and had been reviling him, has a change of heart. And then literally has the chutzpah to say to the guy he's been reviling, remember me when you enter your kingdom. Because the way that Jesus took all of the insults hurling and everything that was going on melted this guy's heart to realize it. That guy doesn't deserve to be here. I'm a murderer. I'm a thief. We robbers, we should be up here. This is what we're due. But not that guy. He must be like legit. And then when he says that to him, boy, this is another reason. Aren't we glad we aren't God? Because if we had been the Son of God on the cross with that guy haranguing and reviling us just like everybody else, when he says that, what's our response? A little late for that one, buddy. But that's not what he gets. God is so gracious that he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. That's Old Testament and New Testament. It's Ezekiel 33. That's Peter. It's the same God who's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever, who doesn't delight in the death of the wicked, doesn't want anybody to perish, so much so that he would go to the cross and take it for us lovingly. And so that when this guy makes that statement, what a response. I tell you the truth. Today, you'll be in paradise with me. We don't get told about what that meant to that guy, but I don't know. I put myself in his shoes up there, and I would just be thinking, he really is God. Because there's no other person who would respond to that after me and my own little few moments with him over the past couple hours, what I've done. These are the arguments and the lofty opinions raised against the knowledge of God that we are able to destroy because of our faith in Jesus. Taking every thought captive to obey Christ. And beloved, this is where the rubber meets the road for the Christian. How many of us have thoughts every day? If you're not brain dead, you have thoughts every day. So for some of you who are under 18 that didn't raise your hands, your parents are like, yeah. But we all have thoughts every day. Now, how many would admit that sometimes there's thoughts that come to mind that are out of left field? That's like, where did that thought come from? This is where the enemy attacks. This is the battlefield. Some would say it's down here. I'd say, no, it's here. Because does it go from here now down to where it becomes actions? Or do we, as Paul says here, are we taking those thoughts captive and bringing them into obedience under Christ? I can talk to men here a lot easier in this realm because God has made men to acknowledge the fact that God made women in a way that we find it attractive. Ladies, please bear with me on this one. Men, God has made you to notice the beauty that God has made in women. Noticing the beauty that God has made in women outside of your wife is natural for the first thought. It's like being in an art museum. That's a nice painting. What you do from that point forward now determines whether or not you're taking that thought to make it captive unto Christ or if you're yielding and running with your flesh. Now, everybody has thought processes of things that would make us go down either a way that we praise God for the thought and we take it captive unto Christ, or we allow our flesh to take over and now we go down the path of sin. The person who is mature in Christ is in a constant battle every day of dealing with thoughts that come to your mind that are not glorifying to God. And now what do I do with them? And this is that daily walk, struggle, growth. But if you are not willing to struggle, which means that sometimes you're going to win and sometimes you're going to lose, you're always going to lose. Because your natural tendency is towards what? Sin. Our natural tendency is that way, but we have a supernatural divine power who dwells within us, who's by name is the Holy Spirit. We literally have God dwelling within us so that when we have these types of thoughts, we can lift up a shield of faith and say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that thought. Because some thoughts just need to be rebuked. Some thoughts you just say, well, okay, God, yeah, very pretty. God bless that guy that's married to her or the guy that will marry her and then back on, right? Here's a great one for me. When I started getting older and my daughters started reaching the teen years, my eldest is 41 now, was to start thinking of the guys that are looking at my daughter, do they realize they've got a dad? Do they realize my daughter has a dad and that dad is me? And then I started flipping it around. Chaz, you're looking at a girl who's got a dad who, if he knew what you were thinking right now, would want to destroy you just like you want to destroy the guys that are having the same thoughts about your daughter. Got it, Lord. And then you back it up to the God of who's the dad of all the girls. And then you start realizing, yeah, that's what their Heavenly Father wants. We need to get our thought processes in line with the way God has it. And we can if we will simply do what the Word tells us to do. To take every thought captive. In order for me to take something captive, what do I have to do? Does that happen just by chance or does it just happen naturally? It takes work on my part. It takes effort on my part. It takes me doing something. And this is where we as a body need to understand. Active faith means that we have to do something. When we just say that we believe, you can believe and it stay right here. But does it actually make it down that, you know, 12-inch pathway to the heart to where we actually act upon it? Because we need to. Because we need to take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience. And this is like a self-evaluation and understanding. Paul's not so much looking at everybody needs to be looking at their brother sinning and making sure they get. See, no. Examine yourself daily whether you're in the faith or not and deal with you.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.